Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Yud Zayin. We're holding the Mishnah at the bottom of Tes Zayin Amid Beis. The Mishnah begins, Heichan hoyu hishtachavoyis ha'elu. Where were these hishtachavoyis? What hishtachavoyis are we talking about? So if you go back to yesterday's blot on Tes Vav Amid Beis, you'll see the beginning of the parak began that Shloisha Osir Shefarois, there were 13 Shefarois. 13 Shefarois means 13 Pushkis in which they inserted funds for the various Karbanis. And since we spoke about Shloisha Osir, Shloisha Osir Mioidea, Shloisha Osir Adnioidea, Shloisha Osir Shulchanois, there were 13 Shulchanois in the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, there were Shloisha Esrei, or Shloisha Osir Hishtachavois, Hoyu. And that's why today we're going to focus on the Shloisha Osir Hishtachavois. At the end of the blot, we're going to... It's fine. You just have to turn to the back. At the Mitchum and the Omid Beis, we're going to have a Mishnah that's going to deal with the Shloisha Osir Shulchanois. And then eventually, we're going to learn about the Shloisha Osir Shefaris. So what were these Shloisha Osir Hishtachavois? Zok, the Mishnah... Heichan hoyu. Where were these hishtachavoyis? Hishtachavoyis means to go and bow, to prostrate yourself. Where was that? Tesayin amud beis. Okay, you have on the bottom. Good. Zog Gemara. Arba v'tzofen v'arba v'dorim sholish b'mizrach u'beis b'marav k'neged shloisha osir sh'arim. Our Mishnah holds that the Azara had altogether 13 sh'arim, 13 gates. And each time a person would pass one of those gates, he would go and prostrate himself and bow down. That doesn't mean that every time that you visited the Beis HaMikdash, you had to go and take a tour of all 13 gates. It just means that any time you passed a gate, that would be an appropriate time and an appropriate location for you to make a hishtachavah.
So past the gate or through the gate?
Or past the gate. So the Mishnah tells us that there were four Bitzafin, four in the north, Arba Bedorim, four in the south, Sholish B'Mizrach, three on the eastern side, Beis B'Marav, two on the western side. And the Gemara is going to identify all of them. For those of you that have an art scroll, there's a very nice picture in the art scroll, not on this stop, but just continue on one or more two pages, and you'll see the a picture of all the Sha'arim, where they were located, up and down. It's very nice. Okay, anyway, back to our Mishnah.
So you didn't have to, it's just that it was auspicious, or it was...
It would be an appropriate thing to do when you're passing one of these sh'arim to go and give a bow.
So why?
Well, we'll see. I know you'd like to learn Kol HaTorah Kula Al Regalachas. Let's take a moment. Zog the Gemara. They were Keneged Shloisha Osir Sh'arim. So now the Mishnah enumerates them. Droimiyim. Remember we said that there are four Bedorim, four on the south. Starting smuchim lamarv. In other words, we are going from the west towards the east and enumerating all of the four sha'arim that were on the dorim side. Now, remember, when you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you're going in from the east side and you're continuing westward. And when you start off from, for instance, the Ezras Noshim, you go further west into the Ezras Yisrael, Ezras Kehanim, you pass the Mizbeach, you get into the Ulam, and then into the Heichel, and eventually in the Kodesh Kedoshim. So the Kodesh Kedoshim, that is the west side of the Beis HaMikdash, and it has the Kedusha similar to Lahavdil, the west side here in Manhattan. Anyway, so we have now the four gates on the southern wall, and now we're going backwards. In other words, we're going to enumerate them starting from Maariv towards Mizrach, from the western side towards the eastern side. So, the first one was Shar HaElyon. Shar HaElyon was called Shar HaElyon because that was the highest Shar. Why was it the highest Shar? Because as you know, when you go into the Beis HaMikdash, you're constantly going uphill. The Beis HaMikdash is on the Har HaBayis, and at times you have 15 Malois, and that's why we sing the Shir of Malois, and each Mala is one Amma, one half Amma, so you keep on going higher and higher and higher. And that being the case, when you get to the Shar HaElyon, that's already the highest Shar of all of the Sha'arim. That is right before the Ulam, or right next to the Ulam, and so therefore, that's much higher than the others. The second one after that, again going eastward, Shar HaDelek. As we all know from
gas station.
And it's Israel, Delek, and Sonol, they go and sell gas, and gas. So Delek here doesn't mean gas, but what it means is the place where they brought in the Eitzim for fuel for the Marocha. This is not the same as the deer who ate them or the lishkas who ate them. This is the shahr in which ate them were brought after they were cut, brought through this shahr, and afterwards placed in the deer or the lishkas ate them. Next one, the shahr abchoyrois. That was the shahr through which the bechoyrois would go when a kohen was bringing a bechor behema. Bechor behema tohira, obviously. That would be the shahr in which the bechoyrois would walk in into the Beis Hamikdash. And finally, you have the Shahr HaMayim. Why is it called Shahr HaMayim? We have a Machlokes. Lama Nikra Shmoi Shahr HaMayim, Shaboy Machnisen, Tzloichias Shal Nisach HaMayim B'chak. This Shahr was the Shahr that was used whenever they brought in the water, Sukkot time, for the Nisach HaMayim. Now, note, it doesn't say in the Mishnah that these were exclusively for these purposes. I mean, it would be hard to understand that just because they're bringing in the Nisach HaMayim, Sukkot time, you have to have a special shahr for that. And in fact, we're soon going to have a shahr Yechonya. It would appear from the Mishnah instead that these were the shahrim that were used for these particular purposes, but not necessarily exclusively. These could have been used by people entering into the Azara from various locations. But to identify one shahr as opposed to the other, each one has its name, and this shahr was used whenever they brought the mayim from the Meishaloyach or the Gichon, wherever they brought the water from on Sukkot time for the Nisach HaMayim, it went through that shahr. That's one interpretation. Blizman Yaakov Oimer Kol Boy HaMayim Mefachim Vasidin Liois Yoitzin Mitachas Miftun Habayis. That from that shahr, water trickled out from the Kodesh Kedoshim. And eventually, as we'll see in the Gemara, Me'at Hashem, in the Bayis HaShlishi, it's not just going to be a trickle of water, but eventually there's going to be a huge amount of water that is going to fill up large rivers and seas. As we'll see as we go further in the Gemara, Me'at Hashem. So, Boyamayim Mefachim, from this shahr, the water would come out as a trickle, Vasin Liois, Yoitzim Mitachas, Miftan Abayis, and they would eventually, in the future, they're going to come out even with a greater current, mitach miftan abayis, through the threshold of this special shahr HaMayim. That's how it got its name, shahr HaMayim. Mishnah will talk about that more in the Gemara in great, great detail. So these are the southern shahr. Now we go to Umasan corresponding. You had Betzofain on the northern side. Again, Smucha Mamarav, we're going to start enumerating them, starting from the western wall or the western side of the Azara. So the first one was the Shahr Yechonya. After that was the Shahr HaKorban, then the Shahr HaNoshim, and the Shahr HaShir. V'loma Nikra Shmoi Shahr Yechonya. How did the first Shahr get the name Yechonya? Shebo Yotzi Yechonya Migolusoi. That's when he went Nebuch into Golus. Period. So what is all of that about? Mechem will see that in the times of Nebuchadnezzar threw Yechonya out. In fact, you remember we spoke about Yechonya briefly yesterday, that Yoshiyahu HaMelech had three sons, and that three sons together with one Einikel followed him and succeeded him as Melech. The first one was Yehoiachaz, who was the second son, and because he was the second son, he had to have a Meshicha, but it was with the Shemin HaFarsamayim. Then the older son, the Bechor Yehoiakim, took over. After Yehoiakim, his son, Yehoiakim's son, who was Yehoiachin, otherwise known as Yechonya, he was the third, and then Tzidkiyahu was the final one. The Nebuchadnezzar, unfortunately, deposed both Yechonya and sent him into Golos, appointed Tzidkiyahu as the new king to take over. Tzidkiyahu was the uncle of Yechonya, like we had yesterday in the Gemara, it says in the Pasuk, Matanya Dodo, his real name was Matanya, he got the name of Tzidkiyahu because Tzidik all of us did. You remember from yesterday's Gemara. Anyway, we have Yechonya figuring prominently in the Megillah. Asher Haglam Yerushalayim Imagalor Asher Haglasa Im Yechonya Melech Yehuda. Right? Yechonya, that's this Yechonya that we're talking about that went unfortunately to Golem. He didn't go. Nebuchadnezzar demanded that he be deposed, and therefore he ran for the hills. He went away then to Golos. So the final place that he stayed in the Beis HaMikdash, before he left, he went into the Beis HaMikdash, prostrated himself in front of the shahr, presumably said Tehillim or whatever, and then he left through that shahr, and therefore the shahr got the name, he made a plata, exactly, and that's how the shahr got the name, Shahr Yechonya. Now obviously this shahr was in existence before Yechonya made his plata and left. It was obviously used by people, but it got the name Shahr Yechonya because it was memorable in the sense that Yechonya left through that gate when he went into Golus. So that's why I'm saying, I'm assuming that the same thing applies to all the other Sha'arim. When you have, for instance, the Shahr Hamayim, according to the first man, the Yomar, that this was Nisach Hamayim. It doesn't mean that it was only used once a year on Sukkot. It means it was used once a year, but not the exclusion of other things. And same thing, Shahr HaBachayres. Because occasionally a Kohen brought in a Bechor for a carbon. I'm sure this wasn't necessarily a daily event. Maybe it was. But how many Bechors did they bring in every day? So after that, they close up the gate and said nobody else can come. Presumably it was distinct because that's what it was used for, but not necessarily to the exclusion of other things and other people. Anyway, so that's the first of the four on the Tzafon side. The Mishnah doesn't explain the other three. Shahr HaKarbon is where the Karbonis Kodshi Kudushim would come in, because as you know, the Kodshi Kudushim were Geshachtin B'Tzafon, so it's appropriate that they're coming through the Tzafon door. The third one, the Shahr HaNoshim, that's women that wanted to stand near their Karbon when the Karbon was brought. They didn't stand in the Shahr Yisrael because of Tznius. You don't want intermingling of the men and the women, so therefore, while the men stood on the Mizrach side of the Azara, the women would stand there at the Tzafon side. And Shahr HaShir is where the Levim would come in with their musical instruments to be able to go and play when they did the Nisach Hayayin at the time of the Tumah Shoshah. Anyway, continuing on the Mishnah, Sheba Mizrach. So we finished the four and the four. The four in Tzafon, four in Dorim. Now we go to the Mizrach. Shahr Nicanor. Shahr Nicanor is probably the most famous of all the Sha'arim. Famous Gemara about Nicanor being a wealthy individual. Went all the way to Alexandria Shom Mitzrayim. Commissioned the construction of two huge doors. We're talking about doors that were 20 amos tall, 10 amos wide. That's 40 feet tall, 20 feet wide. Can you imagine? Wow, what doors. And everybody knows the famous story that they put them on the ship, and then the ship or the boat, and then the currents were very, very turbulent until the sailors took one of the two doors and threw them overboard, and it didn't help, and they wanted to go and throw the other one, and then Nicanor went and laid down on that second door and said, if you want to throw out the door, you're going to have to throw me with the door. And then the sailors relented, and then the seas started being stopped, their turbulent currents, and it sailed nicely into Akkoi. And Nicanor was beside himself that he lost the second door. As he got off the boat, he saw, guess what, miraculously the second door was bobbing along, had floated together with the ship into port at Akkoi. So he had both doors. They put the doors up in the entranceway to the Azara. This was the main entranceway to the Azara. And Shahr Nicanor is also famous because all of the Mitzrayim that wanted to go and bring their Karbonos, they had to have the Nesinas Dam and the Shemen on the Tenuch Oizen HaYimonis, and then on the Bohoinos, and they're not allowed to enter into the Azara because it's still Mitzrayim. But they have to go and put the blood, and you have to put the oil on. So the only way to do it is that they stood in Shahr Nicanor, and they, which was not Kodesh B'Kedushas Azara, and they stuck their fingers in and they stuck their ears in to be able to get the dabbings of the blood and the oil. Okay, so that was the major shahr. In addition to that, then you had regular doors to the right and to the left. In other words, what happens if you have a large crowd and the security is holding everybody back? So instead of everybody rushing through or going through the main gate, they also had smaller doors to the right and to the left of the Shahr Nicanor. They didn't even have names, and therefore these were the three on the Mizrach side. And finally, Shnayim B'Marav, two on the Marav side, Le'yolah and Shem, and they didn't have any names either. The two on the Marav side presumably didn't have shames because they were probably not used very often. Remember, these two are in back of the Kodesh Kodoshim, so that's kind of far away. Presumably very few people are coming from that direction because that's the top of the mountain. People are coming from down below, going up towards the top of the mountain. So since they were not frequently used, they didn't have any particular name.
Are any of these Sha'arim in existence today?
Well, the whole Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, is no longer with us. Yes, should be Karav Mamish. We'll have the Sha'arim. We're going to have the Mizbeach. We're going to have the.
Sha'arim. The gates fell, sunk.
Okay.
So we must, if we can excavate and find them.
Yes. Okay. And we have to show the car of Mamish. And
where,
says
where,
yeah.
Where were the animals kept?
There was Lishka Satloim. Exactly where Lishka Satloim is. You have to look up in Tamid and Midos. There are pictures exactly where all the various.
You said they brought them from here, so I'm just curious how far they had to bring them to bring the various korbanos.
Good question. Question. Okay. In Zokti Mara Masis and our Mishnah that says that there were 13 Sha'arim is in fact the basis of a machlokes. Because Abba Yosef ben Yochanan, he the Amar Keneged Yugim Sha'arim, the Abba Yosef ben Yochanan is the one that holds that there were 13 Sha'arim. Veram, however, Kirabana, the Rabbanan hold there were only Shiva Sha'arim Hayu, Bazar. There were only 7 altogether. This machlokes is not brought here, it's brought in Mesechtes Midos. If you learn Mesechtes Midos, Mitchum will get there in a couple of years. It goes and describes in great detail all of the various structures and infrastructure of the Beis Hamikdash. So there, the Rabbanan said there are only Shiva Sha'arim altogether. So if Zakti Yomar, Al Das the Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, Heichan Hoyu Ishtachvoyis Halalu. In other words, we know where the 13 Ishtachvoyis were according to the prior Mishnah that there were 13 Ishtachvoyis. Where did they have them? So we just learned in our Mishnah, can I get these 13 Sha'arim? Every time you pass the Sha'ar, you'd prostrate yourself to go and show allegiance and love of the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Kedusha of the Beis Hamikdash, to go and to show reverence and awe, etc. But according to the Rabban, there were only 7 Sha'arim. But the Rabban also agreed that there were 13 Hishtachavoyis. So where were those 13 Hishtachavoyis? So Marki, he, Tataninan, Taman, like we learned over there meaning, again, Masechtas Midois, that Yud Gimel Pritzois, Pratzois, Hoyu Boy, Sheportzim, Malchayovan. Chazvigodrim b'nei chashmoy noy. Chazvig kenegdon yud gimel shtachavoyis. What is all of this about? Outside of the Beis Hamikdash itself, immediately beyond the walls of the Beis Hamikdash, you had an open area called the Chel, and beyond that, you had what's called the Soreg. Soreg was a fence that was all around the Chel and ultimately all around the Beis Hamikdash. That Soreg was not a tall wall, rather it was more of a lattice work netting type of fence, and that had the name Soreg. And when the Greeks came up, the Yavanim, they went and they made pirtsois, means that they broke through in 13 different places through that Soreg, eventually to go into the Beis Hamikdash and to cause all the tzuras that they caused. Bnei Hashmonei and Baruch Hashem were successful, and that's of course the famous story of Hanukkah. And after they were successful, they went and they were go there, and they went and godrum, which means they fixed the fence in all these 13 spots. However, either you could still see where the break was, or they put signs there saying this is where the protests were. So when people would pass these 13 pirtzois, they would thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us the Yeshua in the times of Bnei Chashmonai. That's why it goes with Keneged, then the Yod Gimel Hishtachvoyis. So we have a machlokes whether the 13 Hishtachvoyis were Keneged, the 13 Sha'arim, or 13 pirtzois here in the Sorek. Okay, now from here to the almost the very bottom of the Omud, the Gemara is going to go into great detail about the Mayim that we spoke about that was flowing through the Shar Hamayim. And most of this is, or virtually all of this, is not talking about the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, but these are psukim, mostly psukim in Yecheskel, describing what's going to be in the future in B'yetz Hashem when we have the third Beis Hamikdash. Ezok Tigmar, Ksiv, Shem Pasuk, Vayubayim Mahu, Yetzu Mayim Chaim Yerushalayim. And that time will come, it's a Pasuk in Zechariah, that waters are going to leave Yerushalayim and they're going to travel far into the Yam. Ezok Tigmar, So what the Gemara is going to describe now is that the waters that we're talking about that are going to go out, Mi Yerushalayim, they're going to go starting from the base Kodesh HaKadoshim. Apparently under the Kodesh HaKadoshim, there already is or there will be some sort of subterranean Mayon, a spring, and that spring is going to start a very, very small trickle coming out from the Kodesh Kedoshim. but it's going to eventually become a huge river, a huge sea, as you will see in Yetzisha. So it leaves Mibes Kodesh Kodoshim Ad HaParoiches. Parochis, of course, is the curtain in between the Kodesh Kodeshim and between the Kodesh, between the Heichal. So that little trickle is going to go out, and it's going to appear Kikarne, like the antenna of Silai V'chilai. Silai V'chilai are different types of snails. Very, very small antenna. Min HaParoiches, as the water leaves the Parochis, and now it's in the Heichal, and Mizbech Hazov, until you get to the Mizbech Hazov, which of course was also in the Heichal, Kikarne Chagodin. It's already expanded a little bit, and now like it's the antenna of grasshoppers. Mizbech Hazov at Azores, flowing further downwards from the Mizbech Hazov until the Azora, it's already Kichut Shel Shesi. As we all know, in the weaving process, you have the Shesi, the Erev. Shesi are the vertical strands, the Erev are the horizontal strands. Fancy English, this is called the warp, and this is called the woof. The warp strands are much thinner than the woof strands. So, as it's leaving the Mizbech Hazov until the Azara, the thickness of that trickle of water has expanded to the point that it's now like a chut shel shesi, like the warp strands. Min Azores, once it hits the Azara, and it's going to continue on to the Miftan Abayis, that's the threshold, presumably, of the Shar Hamayim, then it's really kechut shel erev. It's already wider, like the woof thread. Mikan ve'elech, as it's leaving now the Beis HaMikdash, it's going out of the Shar Hamayim, it's expanded further, can be pi hapach, like the opening of a flask, like we have the pach shemen on Chanukah, so it's like the opening of this pach. Siv, and then it continues on. Bosik, vine mayim mefachin. Mefachim means that the water starts off as a trickle. Menakosef hayimonis, betzeisa ish kodim, vekav viyodoi, vayomed elef ama, vayavireni, vamayim mei afosim. What this pasuk is telling us is that as the waters leave the Beis HaMikdash, and now they're continuing to flow down the Har Habayis into Yerushalayim, the waters are starting to accumulate and become bigger. So big that they are now until ad karsula. Ad karsula means until the person's ankles. So you got to be careful if you're walking in that direction where that water is. Make sure you put on your rubbers, because otherwise you're going to get your shoes full of water until your ankles. V'yomer Aleph, and now measure another 1,000 amos. V'yavireni b'mayim mei berkayim. Now the water is already mei berkayim ad birkaya. Ad birkaya means until a person's knees. So the water, of course, is getting taller. V'yomer Aleph, and now go and walk and measure another 1,000 amos. V'yavireni mei masnayim. It goes already up to the masnayim, which means ad masnaya, until the loins, until the waist. Boy, the water is really starting to get up. It's becoming serious. So much so, mikan ve'elech. Once you go beyond that, v'yomed elef, another 1,000 amos is a nachal. It's a river. Ashali uchal lavoir. A person cannot pass through that river. Why? Because afilu lebirnin gedoyle eni yichol lavoir by. Not only a person can no longer walk there, but even a birnin gedoyle, which means a large ship, wouldn't be able to pass. Now you're thinking to yourself, why can't the ship pass? Okay, so the water is deep and it's high. After all, we have these major liners that, major ships, that ship liners that are flowing over the Atlantic Ocean, and presumably from the top of the water till the bottom, is probably, I don't know, half a mile, maybe bigger, maybe more. So, but the point is that the river is now with turbulent currents. Because of that, the ships cannot travel there because it's turbulent seas, the high waves, etc. Mai taima, and so the more mai taima means bring me a raya from a pasuk. It says in the pasuk, v'tzi adir lo yavrenu. Why? Neima ki go hamayim meisachu. Now you remember years ago in Eretz Yisrael, they had the tzim, ship liners. So the word tzim comes from the word v'tzi, tzi adir. In English they said zim because they couldn't pronounce it tzadik. So the tzi adir means these major strong ships, the Avernus won't be able to pass through because of these strong currents. Neimaki go hamayim, the water is like a gaiva, it's very tumultuous. Meisachu, what means meisachu? Mal meisachu, meisachu mi loshut. The word meisachu means that you cannot go and swim there. The word loshut is to swim. and therefore it's too difficult to swim. But it's not only for a swimmer, but it means even for ships and boats. They can't swim through these waters because of the high currents.
Where does Zim come from? I'm sorry, where in the...
This word, but see, tziyada. Tziyada means major ships. So the they had the Tzim, what was it called? Ocean liners, or Tzim shipping company in Eretz Yisrael, and that comes from this pasuk, from this word, tzi.
What word? Tziyada.
Yes, it means major, major ships. Okay. The word tzi and tzim are related.
Okay.
Anyway, so mahu.
I see.
Yeah, you see. Okay, very good. Mau meisachu, that means miloshet, from being able to swim. Umrav chuna ba'asrein, in our place, koru l'shaita sachvana. Where we are, they call shaita sachvana. So this word shaita has two interpretations. Either shaita means to swim, like the word miloshet that we just said, or shaita also means a boat or a raft that was called shachvana because of the relationship to the word meisachu. So you see that there's a connection between Sochu and Sachvana, that's how it got its name. And now we have another pasuk, and this pasuk is in pasuk in Yeshaya. There it says, "Ufeiras yodav, spread out the hands, bekirboy, kasher yifores hasoicha lischois, v'hishpel gavosoi im orbois yodav." Gemara is bringing this pasuk because once again we have the term yifores hasoicha lischois. Says Yimar Mal, this Chayis, what does this pasuk mean? Biyosi be Rabun Mayan de Mismalin the Alma. We said now that these waters are such strong currents that one cannot swim. That's the Lischois is swimming. Here the Gemara is saying that the word Lischois has another interpretation, and the other interpretation is it comes from the word Sicha. Sicha means to speak, speech. To talk. And therefore it's mayan, mayan like the word mayim. Mayan is the Aramaic form of mayim. To mismalim ba'alma, that people talk about throughout the world. In the Targum Lashon, the word vayoymer is vayimalel. So these are waters that people talk about all over the world, that these are mighty seas, and oh wow. Ooh. That's how people speak about it. We're going to have on the bottom of the Omid, the Nemiyat Hashem al-Asad Lovay, these seas, or these waters are also going to have miraculous properties to them, and it's going to cause ilmim, people that are mute, to be able to speak. And so therefore perhaps another pshat in this Gemara is mayin de mismal ba'alma, waters that cause new speech in the world, people that were not able to speak until now because of a disability, and now they're able to speak. Right, Siv in the pasuk it says, v'yoymahu yiyem mekor niftach lebeis dobro l'yoshu yishalayim v'chatas ulanidah, that the day will come, and this is going to be a makar. Makar means it's going to be like a mayon, a spring, that's going to be open for the Beis Dovid, the Yosh Yishalayim, l'chatas ulanidah. What means l'chatas ulanidah? L'chatas ulanidah means that you'll be able to go and toivel in these waters. Obviously, stay away from the high currents, but otherwise you can go and toivel. So a nidah will be able to use it as a mikveh, and because it's mayon water, you'll be able to use it for mechatas. Mechatas means for para aduma. You have to say, Pasuk says, V'nasan olav mayim chayim el keli. Mayim chayim means water that comes from a mayan, as opposed to from a lake. It's got to be a subterranean mayan, and that's what you can use for mechamas. A natural spring! Shkoyach, thank you for coming back. I knew we would need you for your contributions. Okay. Shkoyach. 100%. And that's what was our purpose in encouraging you to come back. So anyway, so the Gemara tells us that this water will be of the status that can be used both for a nida, for a mikveh, as well as for a mayan, for the mechatas. Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Reb Yoinesin, mi based on the Bad Yoshua Yishalayim, k'sherim l'nida u'lechatas. He repeats what we just said now, that where the water is lying from Beis David and Yerushalayim, you can use it for both of these purposes. But once you go beyond that, it's now made teruva say, it's going to mix. It's going to mix with rainwater or other types of water, which will still be k'sher l'nida. It will not overwhelm the nature of this mikveh. The mikveh will still be a kosher mikveh, but it'll be psul mechatas, because since mechatas requires Mayim Chaim El Kali, it's no longer going to be only Mechaim, only Mayim Chaim. It's going to be mixed with rain waters and other waters, and therefore you no longer use the waters at this point for purposes of the Mechatas for the Por Aduma. if you go in closer to Yerushalayim, then you can. Where it's the Makar Niftach LeBeitzav LeYosh Yerushalayim, you can. But when you go beyond that, that's what he's referring to, Mikan VeElach, you can no longer use it for Mechatzos. That's
or
the
first.
Oh yeah, the Gemara doesn't talk about that, but you're right. Mayim Chayim would be for both. That's for a Zov, not for a Zova. Zova, no, regular Mech is enough. That's a Zov that has it.
Thank you.
No problem. Omer Blozar, mi beis David, v'ad yoish shalayim, k'sherim l'nidu l'chattas, like we just said a moment ago. However, mekan v'eilach, he holds mekatafris the same. It's mekatafris. The Gemara refers to, on occasion, nitzik v'hakatafris. Katafris means something like a waterfall, where water is not stationary and it's not standing horizontal, it's
stagnant.
Coming down vertical, you're right, but it's coming down vertical, like from the side of a mountain, from the side of a hill. And as it's coming down katafris, since it's not together in one pool like a mikveh, but rather it's flowing downhill, as well as since it's not a continuous fall, from time to time there will be breaks. Therefore, says our Gemara, psulin l'nidu l'chatzos, you can no longer use it for a mikveh or for mechatzos, but you have to go closer to Yerushalayim for that purpose.
Ain't getting would be possible, say.
Yeah, according to this Gemara, yeah.
Well, if had the pools were kanos, then it could be a din of a mikveh, or no?
Once again?
If it had pools.
Down below.
Down below.
Yeah, 100%. We're talking about when it's still flowing down the side, then it's not a pool. When it pools down below, yes, that would be a different story. Getting back to
the proportion of rainwater versus spring water is a function of how close you are to Jerusalem. Is that how it would?
In this Gemara, it's not saying that that's a general universal rule. This particular Mayan, where the water started emanating from Yerushalayim and going out of Yerushalayim in a downhill fashion, because Yerushalayim Harim Sagula, Yerushalayim, you have to go up to Yerushalayim. That's why it's considered to be Gavoya Mikolarotis. It's the highest spot, not only spiritually but also to a certain extent physically. So the Gemara is telling us that when those waters left Yerushalayim, they did mix with other waters like rain waters, and therefore they were no longer considered to be Mayim Chayim for purposes of the Mechatzos.
But Yemos HaChama, summer days, it probably would be kosher because then there's no rain.
Brother Shai is alluding to another Gemara that talks about differences between the winter months. I think it was Avod Shmuel. They made special mikvois at special times of the year, because certain times of the year there was enough water to go and be toivel and to be kosher water, and other times of the year it was more problematic. But anyway, that's a separate sugya. Yeshakoya for reminding us of that sugya. And we get back to our Gemara, and the Gemara continues on. The waters that we were talking about leaving Yerushalayim, they now go to the Galil, and they flow into the Yam Shel Samchu. Agmor doesn't identify Yam Shel Samchu. The Heart Scroll has a ganze thesis about this Yam Shel Samchu, Ayin Shom. Viardu or Vierdu El Arova, they go down to the Arova, to the plains, Zeyam Shel Tveria, presumably this is what we call the Kinneret. Ubo Hayam, and then it continues flowing further, Zeyam Melach, into the Dead Sea. El Yama Hamutsoim, Zehayam Agodl. And it keeps on flowing to the Yam Hamutsoim, and that's referring to the Yam Agodl. Yam Agodl, some say means the Mediterranean, some people say means the Atlantic Ocean, but it's called Mutsoim. Now the question is, Lama Nikra Shmoy Mutsoim? How did it get such an interesting name, Mutsoim? Kenege Shtepa Omen Shiyotze. Because this is now talking historically that the waters from the Yam Agodl overflowed at two times in the past. When were those two times? Echabedar Enish, be Echabedar Haflaga, all the way back in history. Then they were flooding and caused major disasters. Reb Luzer, Reb Lezer, B'Shem, Reb Chanina, B'Rishoni Yotza Ad Calabria. Initially, the waters that we are talking about are going to flow until Calabria. Calabria is part of Italy, Ubishnia, and later on, or perhaps the second time, maybe it'll divide into two. Yetze Ad Kipe Barbabria. Barbabria is on the coast of Morocco. And I'm sorry?
The Barbary Coast,
and that is located today next to Morocco and countries around there in the African peninsula. But that's where, African continent, that's where Barbary. When I visited Morocco, when I toured Morocco with my wife several years ago, we went to the Barbarian, not the Barbarian Coast, Barbary Coast, and they said that years and years ago, there were many Yidden that lived in that area. Today, nobody's left. They all left Eretz Yisrael years ago. And they had very interesting menhagim, which were different than your normal Jewish communities, even in Morocco itself, especially even from Barbary.
Probably after the Spanish expulsion that came down there.
Yeah, it could very well be.
Some of the pirates or some of the Abyssinians from Spain.
Yeah.
The Jews.
Yeah. Everything is possible.
Probably pirates.
Kanzai. Anyway, so continuing on the Gemara, Reb Acha b'shem Reb Chanina, b'rishoyne yetze yotze ad kipe b'barbria, first time until the Barbary coast, b'shneye yetze ad Akkoi v'ad Yafoi. It's going to flow until Akkoi and Yafoi. As we know, those are ports in Eretz Yisrael. Akkoi is very, very high up. Akkoi b'tzofayn, first Mishnah, Masechet Kitten, and then Yafoi is, of course, we know Tel Aviv Yafoi. Ad poi savoy v'loy soysif. That until that point the waters are going to flow, but not any further. Ad Akkoi tovoy v'loy soysif, until Akkoi. Upo yoshes begoin galecha, and at this point it will show off begoin its majesty, its galim. Galim are the waves. The waves are majestic waves. Ad Yafoi oshes goin galecha, until Yafoi. So we had it's going to flow until Akkoi, and the glorious waves are going to be until Yafoi. But Nicha Yoma Rabba Vyoma de Milcha Bishvila Miskan. I understand why we're telling us all of this. It's important that these waters go into the Yama Rabba, into the Mediterranean, Yama de Milcha, into the Dead Sea, Bishvila Miskan, because those waters naturally are salty. By having these flowing waters coming from Yerushalayim, they're going to sweeten them. The question is Yama de Tver, Yama de Samchu, what was the purpose of having these waters flow into the Kinneret and that Yama de Samchu that we spoke about? Everyone, the Rabbis de Gosam, as a result of these new waters, it's going to increase the species and the numbers of fish. The Chassid Beitz in the Pasuk, Lemina Tia de Gosam. What means Lemina? Lemine Minim Tia de Gosam. There are going to be many, 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 many different types of species of fish, says the Gemara, depending on Reb Shem Gamliel. Reb Shem Gamliel says, Ken, what we're talking about, I remember Maaseh Shehalachta leTzidon. One time I was visiting Tzidon. They say that Tzidon is the same as Sidon in modern day Lebanon.
Yeah. Been there.
You've been there, yeah. Yeah, okay. So he says that when he visited Tzidon, they view Lefana and they brought before me Yoise Misholosh Meyois Mine Dogim Betamchoyach. Can you imagine? Could you imagine? In one meal, they brought a tamchoy. Tamchoy in this connection means like a large tray. On this large tray, they had 300 different types of fish that you can go and choose from.
Feast of
so, this is a real feast, can you imagine? So
something, don't sit to any party planners now, or else they're going to be trying to beat them.
Okay, speak to the party planners. Sholosh Meyos is usually an exaggeration. There might not have been 300, there might only have been 295. But the point is, there were many, many, many different species of fish, and therefore, Pshim Gamliel says, this posik is not at all unusual. And don't think, oh, this is miraculous, because I already experienced this type of thing in Sidon, many, many different types of mine dogim, and naturally that's going to be loss of love from these waters going and flowing into the Kinneret. And the pasuk continues on. Shteita v'nirpu hamayim. In one pasuk it says that the waters, normally the nirpu of course means refuah. Here the art scroll translates it as sweetened, that the waters will be sweet. And then there's a pasuk a few psukim later, betzoisev v'gabo'ov v'lo yerofu, lamelech nitnu. Pashup shat, there is no stiras apsukim. The first pasuk, v'nirpu hamayim, is talking about the regular flowing waters that we're talking about. And betzoisev is referring to marshes or swamps or other pools of water which are removed from this large body of water, and because they're stagnant and because they're probably people use that for throwing out garbage or whatever.
Relief.
Relief. Some of them may even use it to relieve themselves.
Exactly.
They didn't have fancy bathrooms. Maybe used for sewage. Anyway, v'lo yirof, and these waters are not going to be sweet. L'melech nitnu, but rather they're given for salt. They're still going to be salty. But the Gemara is learning that these two go together, and the Gemara asks, don't have a stira. Here it says that the waters will be sweet. V'yaram is lo yirof. You tell me they won't be sweet, so make up your minds. Lo yirof or mine. Every one makom hu ishmoi v'lo yirof. The Gemara says that there is no inconsistency, but rather most of the waters are all sweet and fine and good. However, there is one water, one body of water, that's in a place called Le'irafu. That's the name of the place, Le'irafu. It's a double word name, just like New York has two words. Le'irafu is the name of the place. In Le'irafu, there, the waters are going to be very salty, so stay away. Maybe that's how it got its name, Le'irafu, because the waters there are salty and they're not sweet. So that's the name of the place. Okay, Shed Vaitik, Sib. V'al ha'nachal yale al sfosim mizeh u'mizeh kol eitz ma'achal le'ibol oleyu v'le'yitay. Period lechadosh v'ivakir. Again, we're talking about lo'asik lovay, when we're going to have these beautiful waters emanating for the Kodesh Kedoshim as a small trickle, and then growing and growing and growing. As they are flowing outside of Yerushalayim, you're going to see that on the two banks of the river, they're going to sprout out kol eitz ma'achal, all different types of fruit trees. Lo yibol oleu, none of the alim, none of the leaves will wither. V'lo yitay, and none of the peiros will end, meaning that they'll all be fresh and fine and good, and you don't have to worry. Period lechadosh v'yivaker, and the peiros are going to yivakers from lashon bechor, in this case, or bikurim. They're going to sprout and blossom lechadoshev over the months. And the Gemara is going to explain now what this chadoshev means, and we're going to have a machlokes. It's Tani. We learned that the Braisa Umar of Yehuda, Lafisha Ba'ilam Hazeh, normally in our times, Tavua Oisel Shisha Chadoshim, Tavua usually grows over a 6 month period. Usually you start planting September, October, and then you start harvesting April, May, approximately 6 months later. That's why you bring the Oimer, because the barley ripens somewhat quicker than the wheat. So you bring that carbon Oimer on Pesach, and then a little bit later, a few weeks later, then the wheat begins to ripen, and then you bring that for the Shtei Alechem on Shavuos. So it's basically a 6 month period. The Ilan Oisa Shashem Masa Chodesh. Every year the peiros, the trees give out new peiros, and that's why when you have exotic peiros once a year, you go make a Shechianu, etc. That's why people make Shechianus on Chamisha Asa, because you have new peiros once a year. Avali Asa Lavoi, it's going to go much quicker. Atvua Oisa L'Chodesh Echad, the Tvua is going to grow in 1 month, not in 6 months. So the proportion remains the same, it's 2-to-1 ratio. Just like nowadays, Tvua is 6 months, Ilan 12 months. Lasa Lava, you're going to have that Tvua is going to grow in 1 month, and the Ilan is going to grow in 2 months. Frank Yamara, my time L'Chadosh, my time L'Chadosh, you back here. What's the Inyan? Omer Rabbi Yossi, Fish Mo'il Mazeh, HaTvua, Oisa Shicha Shoshim, V'Ilan Oisa L'Yud Beis Chodesh, Av Lasa Lava, HaTvua, Oisa L'Tesvom Yoyim, V'Ilan Oisa L'Chodesh Echa. So now, the word "maitaima lechadosh v'vaker," maitaima often in Yerushalmi lashon is not what's the reason, but rather what's the makar. How do I know? And therefore, the Gemara is saying, how do I know that the peiros are going to grow in 2 months? I'm going back to the previous mandiyama. Previous mandiyama said that tefu is going to grow in 1 month, the peiros in 2 months. Maitaima, what's the makar? How do I know in 2 months? Because it says lachadoshov yivaker, chadoshov miut rabim shnayim. Chadosha means to its months, so the minimum of months is 2 months. So after 2 months, yivaker, it'll bloom and blossom, and you have new fruit. But Rabbi Yossi says, "Fishaboy lemazeh hatvua ois l'shichah shel rasha, v'ilan ois l'yud beis chodesh." That we all agree, 6 months, 12 months. Avlasa lovai, it's going to be even less than the prior mandiyamer hatvua ois l'tesva v'yom in 15 days, in half a month. V'ilan again. We stay with the same ratio of 2-to-1, and an Elam will produce new fruit every month. Can you imagine 12 months a year, 12 months of new fruit every single month? Now, how do I know that the Tvua will grow in 15 days? She came with Tzina, we found She'asa ha'tvua bimei yoyel lechamisha asa yoyim bekarev bimena ho'oymer. In the times of Yoyel Hanavi, as you know, Yoyel was one of the Trei Asar. If you forget the names of the Trei Asar, just go down Geula, you have the parallel streets in Yerushalayim with all the names of the Trei Asar. So Yoyel was one of the names. Interestingly enough, on Rechov Yoyel is also, of course, the Satmar Yeshiva, but that's, I don't know if that's a coincidence, but it is what it is. Why are you asking me, why is Satmar? Because Satmar the Reb Yoyelish was the Satmar Rebbe. Anyway, but getting back to Yoyel, so in the times of Yoyel, it says in Tanakh that there was a major, major famine, and a major drought, and it didn't pour, it didn't rain, gunished the entire winter season. Finally, in the times of Yoyel, everybody got together, made a major tanis, and it started raining for the first time on Rish Chodesh Nisan. Mm-hmm. Usually when it rains on Rish Chodesh Nisan, it's already worthless, because everything that you planted was 6 months ago, nothing has happened until now, presumably all the seeds have rotted or spoiled or whatever, because nothing has grown. However, miraculously what happened was, in the times of Yoel, that they went and planted, okay, we'll see in another moment in this pasuk, she'osa tfua b'mei Yoel, chamisha osa yoim, in 15 days, the whole thing grew from Rish Chodesh Nisan until Pesach, and they were able to record Mimeno Oimer, they were able to go and miraculously bring the Oimer the next day on the 16th day, the first day of Chol HaMoed. My time again, what's the Makar? How do you know? It says in the Pasuk, when a Tzion Gilu v'samchu v'shem l'keichem, they were so happy, they were overjoyed with Rabbi Nishlan. Kinosan lechem es ha-moira litztaka, v'yoyer lechem geshem moira u'malkish barishai. The first waters started raining for that entire winter season, instead of starting in September, October, they started raining Barish on the first day of Chodesh Nisan. And therefore, 15 days later, they were zochet to go and bring the new carbon oimer from the new tefuah. That's a miraculous plowing, not plowing, a planting and harvest season all condensed into 15 days. So says Yomar, just like it happened then, and that was 15 days, so Miyat Shem L'Osu Lovi, the same thing's going to happen, tefuah is going to grow in 15 days, and twice as many days, and 30 days will grow the new fruit. I have a problem. We said before that's the makor for the previous month, the Yomar, that it's every 2 months. Now you tell me every month, the Chayit should say that the Peiros l'chodesh yivaker. Says the Yomar, no, the word l'chadosh means b'chol chodesh v'chodesh yiyem avaker. It means to say that during the year, 12 months, 12 new blooming and blossoming fruit trees, every month it's going to blossom again. And the pasuk continues, the alim, meaning the leaves, will be lesrufa for a medicine, or as Rabbi Yochanan is going to say, it's not only for a medicine but for food. In Eretz Yisrael, you get trufot. Trufot are drops.
Medications,
exactly. So trufa normally means for refuah purposes, but here it means for food. Yochanan omer tarpeo meitzitz aleha utraf is mezoinim. What does that mean? Tarpeo meitzitz aleha. That the word over here is the tarfe, the food of the people will be, that you can go and meitzitz, you can go and suck on the alim, on the leaves. Take the leaves, suck on them, and that will give you a lot of nourishment, as if you're eating an eight-course meal. How do I know all that? Because traf is called mezoina. In Aramaic, the word trufa, traf is mezoina, is food. And the Gemara says even more, it does have trufa, it does have medical effects, as we'll see now. Rabbi Shmuel, chad om lahatir pesh lamalim, chad om lahatir pesh lamatir. The Takli Chadetin explains, lahatir pesh lamalim means those people that have lost their taste buds. And you may know that many people that have suffered recently from COVID have lost their sense of taste or smell. Or Hashem eventually usually comes back. Some of them says months later it still hasn't fully come back. But anyway, when you took some of this water and you drank it, it was matir, it opened up the peshul amalan, and you returned, your taste buds came back. Chanom, the other one says, lahatir peshul amalan, that's to open up the bowels down below, that a person who is constipated, he can go and drink from this water, and this will act as a natural laxative to allow things to flow.
Is that drink from water, or is that eating the leaves? Are we talking about drinking water?
Thank you. Yes, Barry, of course, is correct, as always, that he's not drinking the leaves, but he's sucking on the leaves, and that nourishment will free up the taste buds up above and help down below. Shkoyach, Barry. Now, there's another pshat as well. Reb Chanina, Reb Shua ben Levi, Chad Omar lahatir pe akorois, Chad Omar lahatir pe ilmen. One says that I agree with you, it's matter the pesh shalamaton, but we're not talking about a laxative, we're talking about akoris, that if chas v'sholom you have a woman that's barren, by drinking or sucking from these leaves, that will miraculously cause the woman to become pregnant to Mi'at Hashem, and she'll be able to have a child.
Mazel
tov. Yeah,
what's exactly the name of this leaf? I want to find it.
It's also lovely leaves. L'asol means in the future. This is going to be, you'll suck on the leaf, and it's going to help for those that are mute, that are not able to speak. From now on, they will be able to be people of speech. They will no longer be speechless. Okay, and that's what we said, if you remember, we said earlier on at the top of the Omid that people speak about this mayim dimismalin ba'alma. So some of the Mefarshim try to relate this to our Gemara, the mismal, not only that they speak about it in the world, but these waters and the leaves growing next on the banks of the waters, they will cause more speech in the world for those people that are currently speechless, because they unfortunately are mute. Okay, there should be a two dots over here, but for some reason there are not. Now we have concluded that entire episode about the Shaar HaMayim, and now we're going to talk about Vayter in the Mishnah, Ulumasim B'Tzofayim. The first Shaar was called the Shaar Yechonya. And we said, remember in the Mishnah, Yechonya made a plata in the times of Vuchanetzah. So Yimora tells Ulumasim B'Tzofayim, corresponding to the southern Sha'orim, southern gates, you had corresponding northern gates, V'chuli. Zokt Yimora, At Moitzi B'Shoa She'ola Nebuchadnezzar Lekan, when Nebuchadnezzar came here, meaning towards close to Yerushalayim, he sat in the outskirts of the place called Antoichia. The Yotzei Sanhedrin Gedoyl LeKrosai. So the Sanhedrin left the Lishka in Yerushalayim to go and have a visit and a meeting with Nebuchadnezzar. And they said to Nebuchadnezzar, Higi Esman Habayis Zeli Chorev, now that I see that you are here on the outskirts of Antoichia near Yerushalayim, does that mean that Chas V'Shalom you have plans now to be Machrev the Bayis? Omlen, he said, no. Oisishim lachti aleichem tenuli. Do me a favor. The one that I was mamlich on you as the new melech, he's referring to Yechonya or Yehoyachin, I want him back. And if I get him back, tenuli v'nihoylech, and then I'll go back to where I came from. Bo v'omru lihoyachin melech Yehuda. They said to Yehoyachin, again, Yechonya, v'vuchanetze boylach, v'vuchanetze needs you. Kim shishom mehem kach. When he heard that, he said, uh-oh, that means it's time to go. Macha pleite. So not mafteicha shel beis hamikdash. This is a famous gemara. In other gemaras, it says that the tzeire kohanim did this. But here it says that Yechonya himself did this. He took the mafteichas of the beis hamikdash. All the legagah shel heichal, he went up to the roof of the heichal. Am lefan v'tzir b'nei shalom, l'sha'avar ha'inim ne'monim l'cha. Years ago, we were considered to be trustworthy and faithful children. B'nei b'choyri Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu was proud of the Jewish nation.
Ne'amanim doesn't mean believers?
It means believers, but in this case it means
faithful,
that we
faithful,
were faithful,
faithful,
right.
Faithful to you.
Yeah,
right.
We were faithful to you, to the Baruch Hu. Shkoyach. V'yim after choyseach ha-mesur l'lam. And therefore the keys of the base of English were given to us to use on a daily basis. Achshav she'ein onu ne'amanim. But now that obviously you no longer consider us to be faithful, and that's why you're planning, unfortunately, the ultimate Chorbis Migdish, and I never have to flee because of Nebuchadnezzar, I'm giving you back the keys. So now, how did Yechonya give back the keys? So this is Machlekes, Train Amiran. Chad Omer Zorgan, he went and threw them up heavenward, and they did not come down, which is a miracle, because usually whatever goes up, comes down. I'm sure you've heard that. Right? Right? It's Galileo and that or something like
Newton.
That. Whatever.
Three goes nine.
That's why he saw the Malamet.
Newton, yeah. The one that created the fix. It was the Malamet. He threw it up and it didn't come down. He just opened up his hand and a miracle hand came from Shemayim and took out the keys from his hand. Given Shiro called Choyre Yehuda, right? The Choyre Yehuda. Choyre Yehuda means the noblemen, the elite of Yehuda. When they saw that, came. Ol Rosh Kagasein, they were so distraught, so depressed, and so distressed that they went up to the tops of their roofs. V'naflu Meisu and Nebuch Rachmon Letzlan, they fell off and they passed away.
They didn't commit suicide, but just fell.
Okay. I don't want to use the word.
We don't want to discuss.
They came down. Right. And they did not live. That's a mess. There was a mess. There's no question. That's why it says in the passing. Masa Gechizoyin. This is a vision that was revealed to Yeshaya Novi. Malacha Efoi Ki Olisa Kulach Legagos Shuois Malaya Irhoi Mia. That means that this was previously a city with lots of noise, lots of commotion, very, very, very busy. But how does it end off? Ends off Kielisa Kulach Lagagois, that you all went up to the roofs, and then Nebuchadnezzar, unfortunately, they met their fate.
So it was quiet.
After that, it was very quiet.
We see the Quran in the city.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, that's the end of the story of the Shaar Yechonya and the 13 Hishtachavois. Now we continue in the Mishnah that we learned yesterday, day before, about the 13 Shulchanos. Where were the 13 Shulchanos? Look at the Mishnah. Yud Gimel Shulchanos Yivam Mikdash, 13 of them. Ches Shul Shayish, 8 of them were made out of marble. The base of Mitbachayim, and they were there in the Tzofin part of the Azara, where they would go and take. They wouldn't cook over there, but they would go and use that Shalein Madichen Es HaKirbayim, meaning in that area where after they shechted the karbanis, they would go and put them up on these nanosim. Nanosim means these short hooks. Pillars on hooks, exactly. The hooks were called vavim. Simi will tell you about them after the shir is over. The vavim, of course, were the shape of a vav, and you hung the carbon after it was geshechted from those hooks, and then they would first strip them, take off the hide, and then they would remove the kirbayim, and after they took out the kirbayim, all of them had to be rinsed. And the pasuk says, yichatz b'moyim. So you took out the kirbayim, that's the innards, the intestines, and all that, you put it down on the tables, these eight tables, and that's where the kahana would go and rinse them. Now, the reason why they had to be made out of shayish, as we'll see in the Gemara, is because shayish is cold stone, it's cold marble, and will not cause any of these innards to start warming up and perhaps to spoil. So this was a form of refrigeration, if you will, to keep them, or insulation, to keep them as cold as possible, putting them on the cold stone.
Does it become fleishik or milchik?
The tables?
Yeah.
Definitely. If you want to eat on those tables, you'd have to put on a new tablecloth and to put on a new tablecloth and put on padding and make sure to go and get proper cutlery and crockery, etc. Okay, so those were the eight tables there in the basement b'chayim. Then you have Beis B'ma'arov HaKevesh. As you know, going up to the Beis HaMikdash, going up to the Mizbeach, you had this very large kevesh, this large ramp. To the left of the ramp, on the western side of the ramp, you again had two tables. Echad Shel Shayish, one made out of marble, like we just had. V'Echad Shel Kesef, one made out of silver. Al Shel Shayish Nuisen Es Evarim, on the one of the Shayish, they put Evarim, meaning that there were Kahanim that had the obligation, or they had the privilege to bring up the Evarim of the Karbanos Oila, as well as the Aymarin of the other Karbanos, up the ramp to the top of the Mizbeach. So there was a resting place, at least a short resting place for a break. They would put, if they had a lot of karbanas, they would go and put the Evarim on that table made out of shayish. Again, because if it was shayish, it didn't spoil. The karbanas were able to stay there for a while without spoiling. Vashel Kesef, however, that was not used for the karbanas per se. They were used for the klei sharis. And in Maseches Midos, I believe it says that there were 93 different klei sharis that were used. So they were placed there on that table made out of kesef. So that's 8 plus 2, it gets us to 10. Ubeis be'ulam mibefnim al pesach habayis echad shel shayish ve'echad shel zohav. As you know, you went through the ulam to get to the heichal. Inside the heichal, there was a major kli which was called the shulchan, and that shulchan was a shulchan that already came from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, where they would go and place the yud beis lechem upon him from week to week. Now, typically, it was baked on Friday. And then on Friday, they took us the baking of lechem upon it was not doche Shabbos. They took off the 12 out of the tfusim, out of the forms in which they were baked, and they put them on a temporary basis on the echad shel shayish, the one made out of marble. Since they were hot, we don't want them to spoil by putting them on a metal surface. That's why the one to the right of the ulam, before you got into the heichal, that was made out of shayish. One to the left, that was made shel zov, out of gold. As the Mishnah explains, al shel shayish noisen lechem upon him b'knisasai, before you bring the lechem upon him through the ulam, into the heichal, and put them onto the shulchan there, you left them temporarily on the shulchan shel shayish. Al shel zov, on the golden tables b'tziyasai, when you're taking the lechem upon him out of the heichal, you took it down from the shulchan every single Shabbos Kodesh. So initially you put it down on that shulchan shel zav, and then from there you would take it eventually into the azar, and you would split it up and give it to the kahanim so that they would divvy it up between themselves as to eating it on Shabbos Kodesh. And echad shel zav mibefnim, echad shel zav mibefnim, she'olav lechem upon him tamid. So besides the two that we just spoke about in the entranceway and the exit of the ulam, of course, Shibafim, the final, the 13th was all the way inside. That was where the lechem upon him was throughout the week. So we have 13 altogether, 8 in the place where they washed their kibayim, the innards, the 2 next to the kevesh, where you had one shel shayish, one shel kesef, that's 10. Then you had 2 more in the ulam, be it kinesos or bitziyasai. And finally, you had the 13th, which was the what we always call the shulchan, what we read about in the Chumash, that you had the lechem upon him on throughout the week.
Excuse me, didn't Shlomo HaMelech make other shulchanos for and menoros?
Barry, as you always do, you have helped us immeasurably, because in Miyat Hashem, in another 10-15 lines, we're going to talk about those 10 Shulchanos, and now everybody knows the secret that we're going to have that another 3-5 minutes. We're going to talk about Solomon's Shulchanos. Yeshar Koyach for sharing that with us, Barry. We'll have it another couple of minutes. Yes.
Lechem Aponim.
Yes.
Was supposed to be. It was when it was hot coming out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, she just said my shower. The reason we put Shayish is because why? Because we want to keep them refrigerated and cold.
Right.
So, but the lechem was supposed to be hot. It's fakir.
Shkoyach. And Simi has helped us out as well, because a minute before we talk about the 10 Shulchanos of Shlaima, we're going to talk about how it was hot miraculously throughout the week, and Mitch, and we're going to come to that momentarily. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for assisting. I have the answer, because the Gemara is going to ask your question and address your question. We wait till we get there. Zokti one. Tani al shel kesef. In the Brice, it said that they didn't have that it was made out of shayish, but rather it was made out of kesef. In other words, either the eight in the basement b'chaim, made out of silver, not out of marble, either the eight in the basement b'chaim, or the one next to the kevesh where they put the eivar. I afraid you were Rabbi Yosef b'shem, Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak, Rabbi Chananya, Mati bar b'shem, Rabbi Yochanan, less kan shel kesef. You didn't make out of kesef. It's not a good idea to go and put it on kesef, because the kesef would make... Oh, I'm sorry. I referred to the... I said that the shayish and the kesef is referring to the ones in basement b'chaim, the kevesh. No. We're talking about the ones that were in the ulam. We said the ulam b'knisosai, there was shayish. One out of shayish. Shkayach. So in the Brice, it says it was made out of shayish, it was made out of kesef, it was made out of silver. So now the Gemara says, no! Less kanshul kesef, nishu masiach, that would not be good for the lechem upon him, because that would just heat it up as opposed to cooling it off. Zokti Gemara, This is what we heard authoritatively just about 30 seconds ago from our Taira Yedid in Chaver, Reb Simcha Weber, who told us that miraculously it remained hot throughout the week. Shememar, like it says in the pasuk, Losim lechem cham biyoyim hilokchoy. The day that they removed the lechem upon him, that means every Shabbos when they took the lechem upon him off of the shulchan, it was still piping hot. But our Gemara does not tell us, but a famous Gemara in Maseches Chagiga tells us that when the oily regel would come up 3 times a year under the Golem, they would pick up the shulchan and they would show everybody and they would say, Yidolach, take a look. You see the lechem upon him on the shulchan? It is steaming. You see the steam coming up. Ruchi basel v'ni amokim. When we remove the lechem upon him, it still is piping hot, like we were masadre kisidure. Anyway, siluka kisidure. Siluka means when we remove it, it's just as hot as kisidure when I'm masadre. Okay. Anyway, getting back to Agmar. So that being the case, why is our Mishnah so concerned about putting it tafke on a shulchan shel shayish? You can leave it on the shulchan shel kesef, because anyway, it's going to remain hot the whole week. And this was the hot question that Reb Simcha asked us about a minute ago. And for the Gemara, you're right. But Reb Shimon Levi Omar ein maskirim masa nisim. The Taklechadatin says it's not really the key. Is ein. Ain maskirin, but ain soimchen al anes. You're 100% right. We know that for years and years and years, from beginning to end, the Kodesh Baruch Hu made this nest, that the lechem upon it remained hot and fresh. However, we cannot depend on nisim. We have to go and act like bnei adam, like regular mortal individuals. If Kodesh Baruch Hu sends us a nest, we'll be delighted. But we got to do what we got to do, and therefore we have to put it on the shayish.
We just in shayish is what. We put the innards on to cry on it. Why? Because to keep it's cold,
right? Mm-hmm.
So why do you want to put them in cold? I mean, it's fakir.
Because apparently that's the way you
when keep you it hot.
I'm not in the bakery business, but apparently when you bake challah or bread or something, so it shouldn't spoil. You put it on something at least neutral. I know it's cold, but at least not something hot, because maybe it'll burn, maybe it'll spoil, maybe it'll get overdone, too well done. Kendinism. But the point is, ain't some chalnes, and that's why you put it on something cold. Fine. Zog Dimar Kumi Reb Ila Loi Hoya Shab Lechem Maul Hanichoi Lishabbos Abba. I left out a word. Boin Kumi. Boin Kumi means like boy minay. They asked Rebbe or Rebbe Levi or Rebbe Ila Loi Hoya Shab Lechem Maul Hanichoi Lishabbos Abba. for some reason, the Gemara doesn't tell us why this would occur, and maybe it never occurred, but at least theoretically, what happens if one Friday they didn't bake new lechem upon them? Why didn't they? There was a shortage, people, where there was a mulchama, whatever happened, I don't know, but they didn't have new lechem upon them. So what are you supposed to do? Normally, Shabbos morning, you would go and take off the old lechem upon them and distribute it to Kahanim to eat, and you'd put on the new lechem upon them. But there is no new lechem upon them. So should we just leave the old lechem upon them there for the next week? Or should we take it off and eat it, and there'll be a week without lechem upon them? Well, maybe we'll put it on Sunday. What do we do? It's always going to have lechem upon them. So therefore, in our case, do not remove the old lechem upon them. Leave it there. It's going to become possible, Lina, because it's there beyond this man. You're supposed to eat it on Shabbos, Matzah Shabbos, but you're not supposed to leave it for another week. Isn't it going to be possible, Lina? Says the Gemara, Einachanami, Lecha Panim, Afil Apostle, even if it's going to become possible, because the Baruch Hu wants it to be Lechem Panim at all times on the Shulchan, even if as a result it becomes possible, Belina. That's the Parshat Pshat. However, the Gois Agra takes out these last two words, Afil Apostle, and he says, under these circumstances, where there is no other Lechem Apanim to replace the existing lechem upon him, you leave it there, and it will not become possible, and you'll be able to eat it a week later. So therefore, depending on the Girsa and our Gemara, it sounds like that it will become possible when you remove it a week later, and you won't be able to eat it because of the Isra Lina, but according to the Gra, and the Taklin Charetin follows in his footsteps, it will be kosher because you take out those two words, afilu pasul. Now we get to the point that was made by Barry 5 minutes ago. Asar Shulchanos Osa Shleimer. Shleimer Melech made 10 new tables over and above the 13 tables that we have previously enumerated. The chesiv is in the pasuk. V'yash Shulchanos Asar. V'yanach V'heichal. Where did they put the 10? Chamisha Mimen v'chamisha Mismar. 5 from the right and 5 from the left. Now it doesn't say right of what and left of what. This is the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. If you have your Torah or a Shalem, v'yash shulchanos asara, v'yanach v'heichal chamisha miyamin v'chamisha mismar. 5 from the right, from the left. No, right of what and left of what. It doesn't say. So the Gemara is going to explain. In Taimar chamisha bedorim chamisha betzafayin v'le'in shulchan kosher ela betzafayin. In other words, what the Gemara is saying is perhaps we mean to say 5 to the right of the Shulchan and 5 to the left of the Shulchan. Now, bear in mind the Shulchan has to be in the Tzofin side, means in the northern wall. Anything to the right of it on the northern wall would mean that we're going to have to push the Shulchan down a little bit southward so that we have the 5 Shulchanos against the northern wall. Then the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be pushed down a few Amis, and then you're going to go and put up the next wall of 5, which of course will be closer to the southern side. So maybe that's what he means. Im toimar, if you're going to tell me chamisha bedarim, chamisha betzafayin, that's going to be problematic. The shulchan itself has to be betzafayin. Shenema v'yasa shulchan titan al tzela tzafayin. So where are we going to put the 5 and the other 5? So matamalim v'chamisha miyamin v'chamisha mismoil el chamisha miyamin shulchanay shul moishe v'chamisha mismoilay. Meaning, all of the 11 Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan, the real Shulchan, so to speak, and all the other 10 ornamental Shulchanes, all of them will be next to the Tzofein wall, the northern wall, and therefore when you're coming into the Heichal, you'll see aligned against the northern wall 11, 5 to the right, in other words, closer to the Mizrach side as you're coming in, then the Shulchan of Moshe, and then you go further on, you'll see the other 5, but all of them are on the Tzofein side of the Heichel. Avul became, well, Yemisadal Bishol Moshe Blubat, even though we had these other 10, but nevertheless we continue using only Moshe Rabbeinu's Shulchan exclusively for the Lechem Apanim. Shinema Esa Shulchan Asher Olav Lechem Apanim. However, it's a machlekes. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Al Kulano Yemisad, he put the Lechem Apanim on all of them. Shinema Esa Shulchan Esvaleim Lechem Apanim on the Shulchan Nois was lechem upon him. So you're thinking to yourself, does that mean that there is 11 times the 12 lechem upon him? And the answer is no. Rather, it means that there was a rotation. If you look at the Karban Eidah, here on the right-hand side, go up about 6-7 lines from the bottom of the Karban Eidah, it says, Al-Kulun Hayim Mesader, Pamim Bazeh, Upa amim bazeh. Sometimes on these tables, sometimes on those tables, sometimes in the middle table. There was kind of a rotation, and they could put it on any of the tables. We'll stop over here. We'll continue tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Bracha v'atzlacha for those.